Richard Wiseman is the guy behind the Quirkology videos that have gotten millions of hits on YouTube over the years. He's a British psychologist who has also written several books. His newest is called Night School, Wake Up to the Power of Sleep. It's based on about 2 years' worth of research into sleep and dreams, and I'm happy to have him back on the show. Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You write in this book about a lot of impediments to people getting a good night's sleep and some tricks to help them sleep better. Let's start with those.
Well, basically, we're living in an age which is sort of an epidemic of sleeplessness. So we recently did a survey in the UK, and around about two-thirds of the population came out as being sleep-deprived, which is basically less than 7 hours sleep a night over the long haul. And there's all sorts of downsides associated with that in terms of health and in terms of psychological risk. And so part of the book is about the science of getting good night's sleep, or the evidence-based tips. And often it's really simple stuff. So, for example, if people are using their computers or tablets or smartphones in the hour before they're going to bed, they're really stimulating themselves with lots of blue light, the light towards the blue end of the spectrum, which is then stopping melatonin being produced in the brain, which is vital to falling asleep. So one of the things they can do very quickly is just avoid those devices in the hour before they go to bed.
You also write about something called the 90-minute rule. You say, try to sleep in 90-minute segments.
Well, try to understand that the sleep cycle, going from light sleep to deep and then up into dreaming, takes 90 minutes. And we all go through several of those cycles every night, which is why we all have about 5 dreams per night, even if we don't remember them. The dreams become increasingly longer as the night goes on. So they start about 5 minutes and end up about 45 minutes. But underlying that is this 90-minute cycle. And that means that what you want to do is wake up at the end of a dream, or at least in light sleep, rather than in deep sleep. And you can do that by sort of chunking back in 90-minute segments from when you want to wake up to when you should then go to bed to get as many of those sleep cycles as possible. So again, it's understanding the science of what goes on in your head in order to improve your sleep quality.
So every hour and a half is the end of a cycle. So if I can get 3 hours sleep, 4.5, 6, 7.5, 9 hours sleep, that's much better than getting 5 hours or 8 hours?
That's essentially it, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a difference between sleeping and going to bed, so you have to sort of put that into the equation as well. But you want to be trying to hit a little bit over 8 hours, you know, 8.5, 9 per night is good. But the important thing is when you go to bed in order to get those cycles in. Now, what's interesting about the cycles is you can break them during the night. So some people wake up in the middle of the night at the end of one cycle, and they don't realize that's what's happened, and so they get very anxious, and they think they then can't get back to sleep, and they're ruining their lives and so on. But actually, you're just naturally breaking a sleep cycle. You can get up for 20 minutes or so, do something if you want, and then naturally go back into the next cycle.
Wow. Yeah, now that's interesting right there. I have a friend who is an attorney who works 12 to 14 hour days, and he's always exhausted when he gets home, but he makes it through the day by closing the door to his office and taking a 20-minute power nap. Is he fooling himself, or do those work?
Well, there's several issues there. So one is, if he's exhausted during the day, he's fooling himself. I mean, he's sleep-deprived. You shouldn't be exhausted. It's as simple as that. And then obviously being tired is one of the main symptoms of sleep deprivation. Two other symptoms is relying on an alarm clock to get up. You should be getting up without an alarm clock, and falling asleep within 5 minutes of getting into bed. It should take sort of 10 or 15 minutes. So all those things would suggest sleep deprivation. In terms of catching up, no, you can't do it that effectively. You can't sort of work throughout the weekday and then suddenly try and make up for it at the weekend, because the quality of sleep's not so good. But yes, naps actually are quite good for you. You know, if you take a sort of 20-minute nap, you don't go into deep sleep in the middle of the day. That's pretty good.
Is there an optimal time for a nap?
Well, it depends when your circadian rhythm drops. Most people would probably, you know, for 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the time when they feel like a nap.
You mentioned dreams earlier. Have you figured out how to control our dreams?
Well, dreaming.
I don't mean that you, Richard, control my dreams.
That's right. I come into your room at night and whisper into your ear. it's a long-term project, but it's worth it. So, drink control is tricky. It's one of my sort of loves, though. We created an app which is called Dream On, which people can download and use. And basically, when you dream, you can still hear. You're blind. It's obviously, you can't see, but you can still hear your surroundings. And so what this app does is to play in soundscapes, very gentle, pleasant sounds. And then in the morning, people will report their dreams to us. And what we've seen from the data from that app is that those soundscapes actually do improve the quality of people's dreams. It gives them more pleasant dreams. And it really matters, because the last dream you have at night, or the one essentially before you wake up, is the one which dictates your mood in the morning. So what we're hoping is we can actually get people to wake up in a better mood.
So if we're still listening while we're sleeping, could I put on your audio book and learn everything that's in it while I'm asleep?
It's a lovely idea, and in the 60s and 70s, scientists spent a lot of time looking at it. Unfortunately not. We don't really absorb information in that way. You can't learn a foreign language in your sleep or something like that. The only way in which you can do is that there are things called micro-awakenings, just for a few seconds, or sometimes even less than that, throughout the night, and that's when you can absorb information, but only a tiny amount. But what the soundscapes do is alter the emotional tone of the dream. So it's very easy to influence whether it feels like a positive dream or one that's making you feel anxious. You can't really alter the elements in the dream quite so easily.
One last thing I have to ask you about, the phrase, "Oh, I slept like a baby." I've had a child in my house, and they don't seem to sleep all that well. What age is best for a good sleep?
Well, babies are problematic in the sense of adults getting asleep, because obviously the babies tend to sleep at fairly unpredictable times. We have actually released a track, which again is free on the web, which is a very soothing track that both adults and babies in particular, it sometimes helps them sleep, and we hope that does help people. What happens, though, from very young age up until around about 3 or 4 is they start to get into a regular pattern as their circadian rhythm develops. So, you know, the truth is there is light at the end of the tunnel if parents are struggling, and parents do across the globe. You know, the fact is it does get better, and then the babies will synchronize with your own sleep rhythms.
I think the better phrase might be, I slept like there was no baby around me.
Exactly.
The book is a terrific read. It's called Night School, Wake Up to the Power of Sleep, from Professor Richard Wiseman. You can also go online and download his Dream On app. Always a pleasure, Richard. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.